If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in every Wednesday at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Astar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One. I am Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Astar Command. Good evening, everyone, and I hope you're enjoying the energies that are now surcharging the Earth in the higher dimensional levels. There is a whole level of life that is taking place just beyond the dramatic outpicturing occurring in the third dimensional world. It is to that level that I would like to call our attention, because it is time now to step out of the embroilments and the conflicts and the polarized energies that are at play on the physical surface of this planet. As we make the choice to live in the kingdom of the divine now and embody that as an intention, as a way of life, as a focus, as a choice of perception, we will find that we are transposed energetically and dimensionally into the new Earth. It is a very slight step and a sidestep from where we are now. Very, very slight. It has to do with the intentionality of your focus and the walk and endeavor that you place forward energetically in expectation. Tonight I would like to bring us to another experience also within the command, and then I want to talk to you a little bit about how we can be more proactive as masters upon the earth at this time in service to the divine plan. But first of all, again, in a shift of your attention, I want you to place your attention aboard ship. And just find yourself in the hallway before a beautiful entranceway. Okay? And now, with an act of intention, the doors open and we find ourselves going into a very, very large, very luminous space. This is what we often call the Hall of Sacred Repose, or the place of homage. It is where we go when we want to bathe ourselves in pure divine essence. That divine essence is potent everywhere, of course, but in and aboard every one of the Confederation fleet ships, mother ships, well, even in the shuttlecraft, we will have a certain room where we can go aside to center and refresh and reattune ourselves spiritually. But aboard the mother ships, we have a very large area. In fact, you'll find that when you're aboard our floating cities, you really won't have a sensation of being in a spaceship at all. You'll have more of a sensation of being in a perhaps a very large mall or a very large luxurious hotel, or perhaps in a city itself. But nevertheless, as you find yourself in the Hall of Homage and Repose, take a deep breath and just sense the sacredness of this space. There's a quiet and a peace and a sense of the sacred that settles about you like a cape, a mantle of blessedness. And intend within your innermost being to clear yourself of any momentum that you've picked up energetically as you've gone about your day and whatever you've been engaged with. Keep your eyes watching what you're doing if you're driving or on the freeways. You can listen later on and return to the Hall of Homage anytime you wish. But for now, just bring your attention. Remember, you are where your attention is focused, not where your physical body is. You are where you are focused. And being aboard ship is simply to redirect your focus there and be there. And in the Hall of Homage, you can return anytime you wish. This will be your special sacred place, your sanctuary of rest. There's really nothing in the hall at all, unless, of course, you wish to visualize something, in which case it would then manifest for you. For example, if you wanted to sit in a chair, you would find it would come up out of the floor, and it would be one that would mold itself to the contours of your body. If you wish to recline, the same thing would occur with a recliner. In other words, at this level of consciousness, you place energetically in your environment whatever it is that you would like to see manifest. But the most important thing is that you get your batteries charged here, that you release energies that are no longer for your highest good, that you reconnect and reattune yourself to who you are as a divine being. Know that you have never left the heart of God. You have merely extended as the living word and the living word that became flesh, which is the living love. You make the love of the formless God have an image that walks and speaks and knows the ways of God while living amongst mankind. It is maintaining that awareness that we call self-realization. And when that sense of otherness dissolves and you find that you are the heart of God, you are then known as one who has realized God. And as a God-realized being, there is simply here and now and that which is. So let's move into that place of God realization. It is again a movement and a choice of your spiritual inner awareness. We're going to sing the most beautiful Anahi chant. We're going to send it to the earth. We're going to send it to the galaxy. We're going to send it to the men and women and children and everyone throughout the earth at this time that needs that little touch of blessedness and grace. It is our dharma, it is our mission and duty to be the ones that receive the divine energy and let it flow through us as tributaries of living grace. That is our function, that is our mission now. We must act as tributaries of blessedness wherever we live. Every movement of our intent must be to bless, to uplift, and to enhance the quality of life. So again, take a deep breath, and we'll chant Anahi. 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 And I see you've all taken your places in a circle around the room, your backs to the center, facing outward. and the transparency of the walls now allows you to see the myriad of worlds within worlds in which we're gently positioned. And now, with the intention of your heart, we ask that the light of the highest divine good be sent forth for the highest good of this planet and all of its peoples. We speak the divine will, the divine plan, and the perfection and order of all things for the highest good of our world. And we seal it through the order of Melchizedek, members of which we are as we serve our mission. Take another deep breath. See yourself as a column of light, the very, very highest divine throne world, as a multidimensional continuum, completely integrated, completely aligned, all of your multidimensional vehicles of manifestation in harmonic congruency. And now from this place of clarity, we continue with our dialogues, which are really transmissions from the heart of the Ashtar Command to each one of you. Because we are a collective, those of us in the airborne division of the fleet, those of us upon Earth, myself now integrated into a past-time cell embodiment. And we walk the Earth, many of us from the fleets directly. There are many living right now on Earth that have stepped off of ships in the remote areas, the mountain areas, Agam Desh, the spiritual community in the northern Himalayas, and other places on the planet. Some from Telos, which is the subterranean community under Mount Shasta. We have come in many, many ways, but we form a family of light. There's something about that vibration that we carry as a family of light, that if we sort of recognize each other, even if we've never met, we feel like we've known each other forever, because the intention of our heart is one and the same. Now, I would like to share just briefly a little bit about spirituality. I will be speaking about my home world, Venus, since that's more upon front burner of my remembrance. I came in as a young child remembering very clearly having come from a planet I later found out was Venus. On Venus, and I speak of Venus because the Earth is actually spiraling into the Venusian orbit. There will be another planet that occupies the third dimensional birth of consciousness that we are currently residing in. But as we spiral as a world into the next globe of manifestation, into the next world, next version of Earth, we will be occupying the lowest frequency band of what is now occupied by Venus. And everything spirals up and takes another position within a new heaven. And this, of course, will be the new Earth. We are currently in the higher dimensional octaves of Venus, currently residing in the Golden Age. So that is the frequency that Earth will be moving into. And upon Venus, in fact, upon all the sacred planets, and Venus is a sacred planet, which means she has become fully infused with her solific quality of divine love. All sacred planets, you have the amalgamation of spiritual life, science, a way of life, the culture, the artistic expression. There's not a separation like there is on Earth. Spirituality is not, for example, looked at as a religious path or as a really even an option. We are considered spiritual beings. And from the time we're born, we are taught that we are spirits. We are taught that we inhabit a form, but we're not that form. that we have a divine function, that we are in many, many instances, there is a form of immortality that, particularly in the God worlds, there are races that are immortalized. Still upon the Venusian chain, we have very, very long lifespans. We have some beings who are immortalized. For example, like Ashtar, he's long ago attained what we would call the equivalency of ascended mastery, and he is in an immortalized body. He told me one time that after 11 econs, which are very, very long cycles of manifestation, that a spiritual being can then opt for an entirely new form of manifestation. But other than that, they are immortalized. They will never go through what we know as death. And there is a change in cycle or operational manifestation, but that is all. So that is also true of us, those of us who are members of the High Command. We are all immortalized souls that have, for one reason or another, chosen to densify or to incarnate. You can incarnate if you wish. You are free to do what you would like to do in terms of your mission. And then our bodies either dissolve back into the light from which they have emanated, or sometimes we drop the physical vehicle, or sometimes we walk like Enoch and are no more on the physical earth but are caught up to be with God in the higher dimension, so to speak. Or we go like Elijah in the flaming chariot, which is the Zohar body, the higher dimensional Merkaba, the energy field that a divine being spins and spawns out from their own luminosity. So there are different ways that we go and come. In ancient times, we went by L conversion. Many of you remember that, at least somewhere in your inner consciousness, which is a phase, 45 degree angle shift, and then you shift the wavelength and you appear in another dimension. So there are many ways that we appear in and out by the shifting of the gravitational flux lines that we are descending through. That having been said, again, upon our planetary worlds, we have a form of spirituality that permeates our entire lifestyle. And it's based upon the understanding of the divine sound current, the divine light, color, and the harmonics of manifestation. Everything is articulated from the understanding of ourselves as transduction devices through which the divine word and the divine light and the divine love becomes manifested in a myriad of beautiful and creative and harmoniously creative manifestations. We learn to mold with our thought and with our intention and our creative abilities our world, which is as tangible as this world is to a third dimensional person. So we're not talking about living in clouds. We're talking about a very real world that has sight and sound and scent and beauty and sensation and pleasure and love and families and all of the things that make life delightful in the physical, at least in many cases. We don't have the mixed bag there that you do here, that's for sure. And our educational systems, again, are based upon the understanding of our divinity. A child is taught from the time they're born who they are in God and their function as divine beings. And they're not conditioned to follow a particular pattern. And they're studied to see what pattern has been placed within them and encourage them to manifest that pattern. And this allows for us to have a money-free and a labor-free existence in the sense that we contribute out of the bliss of our own, the things that we really love to do, the bliss of our own inner creative presence and potential as it manifests. And we find that within that, there's you know, everything is covered. All the bases are covered. Everything is provided for. Everything is shared in common. And this is exactly what the Earth is going to be moving into as well, as these old dysfunctional systems of government and money and the ways we have done things. We've tried to fit ourselves into a system that has regimented us but has not allowed for any kind of unique expression of us as spiritual beings or even acknowledged us as spiritual beings in most cases. So this is changing as we move into this higher dimension. And again, you can begin to live in that dimension now more and more. Many of us have been living in that for some time now. There are laws that apply to that level of manifestation that are as powerful as any of the laws that we've been taught exist here in the third dimension. The law on the fifth dimension is that you actually attract, through love, that which is needed in your life. When your entire being has the will to good, the will to benevolence, the will to serve the highest good of all that exists, and that is the only intent of your heart, there is no other agenda but to simply be a conduit of goodness and grace. That particular state, you don't even have to think about what it is you need. It comes to you unbidden, automatically, before you even are aware there is a need. The universe will flow it right into your lap. And that is the state that we are being taught now in this remaining little portion of third dimensional manifestation. That little portion, which is really the overlap into the fourth and even tiptoeing now into the fifth dimension. We are being taught now to live in that state. Sometimes it's languaged as trusting God or relaxing in God or living in grace, all of these kind of religious terminologies. But in truth, it is simply being who and what you are, and that is an incarnation of divine love. And when you manifest at that level, everything that you need is automatically brought to you without any effort at all on your part. It's an energetic attraction that's infallible. Now we're going to shift our attention again back to the Earth. You can stay aboard ship or you can return your awareness back to where you are in your Earth embodiment. You can shift back and forth. You can play with it. You can experience what is often been called soul travel, but now you can see it's really just a shifting of your viewpoint. There's really no travel at all. And when you have a perception of moving through space where there's a passage of objects, let's say, swirling around you, this is simply the atoms of your universe rearranging themselves to match the intention and the expected outpicturing that you wish to see. So again, this is a very important key I want to enforce in your recall, and that is the atoms around you at all times in which you live and move and have your being. You live in a sea of atoms. Your consciousness expectation, your belief system, your matrix of available possibilities that you have deemed what you would find acceptable in your life is what rearranges itself as a sensation of movement. When you're aboard ship, when you're on the inner planes in the dream state, when you're in meditation, or when you're projecting your mind or your thoughts or your imagination in some manner. So just be aware that your intention always manifests as your environment and your reality. Now, we're obviously in a cycle of Earth changes on our planet, and I wanted to go into that a little bit. Very often people say, you know, when is the command going to land? When is the command going to do something? I get emails all the time about various situations. And I would like to just share with you a little bit about what the ASHTAR, and I'm speaking about the Airborne Division right now, actually does with regards to the Earth. First of all, the reason you haven't had an asteroid impact upon this planet, since there are literally probably millions of rocks and debris floating around in space, the reason you haven't had a direct impact is because of the Galactic Command that deflects them. They're really not that difficult to deflect. Just a little burst of energy, and you don't need to nuke them at all. In fact, don't even think about nuking them, because that would ignite the asteroid belt around Earth. You never want to put nuclear power out in the cosmos in that nature. In fact, I don't believe it will ever be allowed to be exported in that manner. But anyway, the asteroids are deflected from a trajectory that would impact the Earth. The second thing that we do, in fact, it's happened since I've been here. I've recently relocated from Miami, Florida, to the Los Angeles, greater Los Angeles area. And I've only been here less than 3 weeks, and already two rather large earthquakes have been deflected away from Los Angeles, away from areas where there's heavy densification of populated areas. And we had a 6.3 out in the Gulf of California and a 6.9 in the Santa Cruz Island area, again, out in the water off the coast. We always do that. We always, as much as karmic law allows, will deflect earthquakes away as much as possible from heavily populated areas. We are allowed to do that by the High Council, the Syrian High Council, which is our upline of authority. And we are definitely allowed to a certain extent to mitigate the severity of certain things, again, where the karma of an area warrants that. I'll go into that in a minute. Since I've been here also, we've had several tornadoes and hail, very, very severe winds and rain, torrential rain, which began even to flood the porch and come into our bedrooms. So it was pretty intense. After we took authority over the storm elementals, which I didn't even hear, you know, the house was so quiet I didn't even hear it, and turned on the weather channel, and then I saw all of these things going on. The Doppler radar showed that the storm cells avoided our area. They made a little segue, a little sidestep, and completely avoided the area where we had sent the light. So again, when you reside in an area as a commander, as a light worker, you have a tremendous protective and deflective presence, and it's important that you're aware of that. The other thing we are permitted to do is to neutralize or render inoperative nuclear devices, warheads, and nuclear launchers, where, again, that is permitted by our spiritual upline. We also are allowed to circumvent potentially harmful experiments and inventions from ever seeing the light of day or being successful. Right now, you have incarnated upon Earth certain Atlantean scientists that were responsible for the fall of Atlantis. And they are once again trying to tamper with mixing the genes of cloning animal and human cells and mixing and adulterating, which is strictly forbidden by galactic and universal law. So these kind of experiments are a retrogressive, atavistic approach, which is mirroring the fall, some of the fallen sciences that were used in Atlantis to create things, hybrids of different species, which is no longer permitted by universal law. So there's some really wicked things going on right now in science. And naturally, we have our own people under the guise of scientists and medical researchers and in various occupations that are seeing to it that these particular things will never come very far in their misuse of power, let's say. We are also allowed to alter the fabric of time and space and slightly offset the dimensional coordinates of a given person or situation or area where a potential disaster will hit or has hit or is in process of hitting. For example, if one of you would find yourselves in an area where there is a cyclone, a tornado, a catastrophic earthquake, or in the case of myself and my co-worker, Solario, we were actually molecularly displaced in our epikinetic bodies and adjusted so that we could pass through a solid object. In this case, it was an overturned tractor trailer on a dark road at night when we were driving in our van. So, and I've also been in several situations of earthquakes and disasters where I was shifted into the epikinetic body, which is the pranic body or the etheric body, in its extenuated, its higher dimensional coordinates. And that allows you to of solid substances. I'll go into these higher bodies in another show, but for now, just understand that the epikinetic is the body that allows very many extraordinary things to happen. For example, those of you that are watching Chris Angel, he would be a good example of a person that is has learned to master his epikinetic body, which is the etheric or the pranic body. I mentioned that we have, well, let me return just a moment again for what we can do within the Ashtar Command. We are limited by one thing, and that is humanity is the cause of everything that happens on this planet, not God. God often gets the bum rap. In fact, when we have some sort of a catastrophic event, people often say, oh, well, it was an act of God. It was not an act of God. In fact, Sai Baba said that once creation is created, God puts it under automatic universal laws, which cause everything to have their cyclic manifestation. And then human beings actually affect the elementals and the outcome by their choices of thought, word, deed, and behavior. When a planet starts to become really dysfunctional and negative, it begins to self-destruct. The species become more violent, the humans become more violent, nature becomes more violent as a reaction to dysfunctional human behavior, and you begin that process of gradually seeing the decline of a civilization or a nation or a planetary system, a root race. We all have our time of infancy, maturation, the stage in which we are manifesting our fullest potential, and then the gradual dissolution and decline. So we are coming to the end of what is called the Iron Age or the Kali Yuga, the Age of Darkness, when righteousness and goodness itself is at its lowest ebb. According to Sai Baba, these are not chronological so much as they have to do with consciousness itself. And I would have to say myself that we can see people exhibiting the characteristics of all the four ages, the gold, the silver, the bronze, and the iron, depending on where their consciousness is focused. And we, according to the higher teachings, are now moving into a mini golden age. So Sai Baba said that that golden age started this year and will be in full manifestation by 2012 or 2010. And sometimes he says 2010 to certain people and sometimes 2011 and sometimes 2012. But we're in that same cycle that the Mayans have spoken of when we move into the golden age. And that's the age of enlightenment. That's the age of conscious creation and co-creativity and the time that we transcend time itself. So again, it's another prophetic group of people and teaching that is speaking about the same thing. They all seem to have the same basic outcome that we're moving into, a golden age, preceded by a time of purification and earth changes and great disruption in our old dysfunctional patterns. Now, what we can do as ground-based fleets is to speak into situations. Well, first of all, make sure that you're cleared, aligned, centered, connected, that you're actually listening. Keep yourself informed about what's taking place, particularly in the spiritual world. And then listen. Spend time in the place of homage, a place of sacred repose, and listen. Listen intently to the voice of the silence, to your own inner knowing, and begin to move in harmony with the divine flow so that you're always connected and you're always in the right place at the right time, rightly oriented. So, assuming that you're doing all of that, you can study the area that you live in and what's happened in that particular area. That will determine the karma of the area. For example, any negative action in an area will produce a karma for that area. And usually people that have a similar karma will incarnate in or live in or be drawn to live in those areas that match their karma. That is often what determines why a tornado will seemingly randomly hit certain areas or even certain houses. It's not because those people are evil necessarily, but it does have to do with lessons that soul has a resonancy to experience. So you have personal karma, and you can, whether you call it the law of reciprocity, or sin, or karma, or cause and effect, or momentums that have been previously set in motion by thought, words, and deeds, and it's all the same thing, okay? So you'll have your personal momentums, generational momentums, regional, national, and planetary. And depending on what has been perpetrated on that land, will determine what happens there. You can be a great source of redemptive grace into an area. In fact, that's really one of the reasons that we are called light bearers, is because light comes down through us. We bear it. We hold it. We transmit it through our life and our actions and our goings and comings in time and space. And it is made available to an area. When you are functioning as a pillar of light, a column of light, a inlet of grace into an area, much of that karma can be cleared through grace. In fact, in the ancient times, you always tried to build your house in an area where there was a temple or a mosque or a church or some place where God was worshipped and his name was repeated with love, or where a saint lived. So as you become the very embodiment of the change that you would like to see in the world, it's important that you really practice being active light, active love, proactive spirituality, proactive mastery, so that as you align with the greatest of integrity and live the highest vibrational life that you can possibly muster, you can be used more and more and more to alleviate the suffering and distress of areas, and even to deflect plagues and diseases and all sorts of things can be deflected from an area just by the presence of a powerful soul. So be a powerful soul. Now is the time. So, for example, if you're in a situation where a great deal of negativity, in In fact, if you watch the news, you'll have an ample opportunity to practice this. Whenever I hear somebody making a statement like some really negative thing is going to happen, I always say, I cancel and deflect that. I speak into that situation and I render it null and void, and I call forward the divine harmony, the divine protection, the divine order into the situation for the highest good of all concerned. Or I will say, I place the light of the highest divine destiny into the situation for the highest good of all concerned. So you don't interfere with the divine, but you also speak the divine's will, which is always the will to good, into an area, into a situation. Another thing you can do is refuse to give vocal assent to negative statements. If you're with people that are downgrading whatever, right now it's so common to speak negatively about almost anybody at any time. But that's a form of slander and gossip that will create karma for you. In fact, Sai Baba has said that when you notice the evil in another during this age of Kali, the evil that you see in another comes to you, and then you have to live out that particular judgment or that particular whatever it is that you have seen in another. And not only that, but the person who listens to the evil report also gets the karma for listening. So it's very important that we don't join in agreement with negative things. Whatever you don't want to see manifest in your life, don't put energy into it. That's the best policy. I'm silent very often when I'm out. I very seldom go out in any kind of a social situation for that simple reason that I really march to a different drummer and I choose to live a totally different life than the one that most people choose to live. I will not give words to criticize anyone or anything. I'm not here to judge and run critiques on how other people live their lives or govern their nations or anything of that nature. But I am to be an embodiment of Christ-like love in this world, and you are too. And that's our job. And our job is also to speak prophetically God's plan, not the devil's agenda, God's plan. And God's plan is always for good and life more abundant for all. In fact, if you understand what evil is anything that's against life. The very word evil, E-V-I-L, is live, L-I-V-E, when it's reversed. The very word devil is the word lived when it's reversed. So it's anything that's against life, anything that has the will to destruction inherent in it is evil. And anything that has the will to good inherent in it is of God. Now, the reason why we have evil on this planet, I've mentioned the fall that occurred probably, the most recent fall occurred in Atlantis, but there also is evil in the cosmos, in the lower dimensional worlds. There are bastions of evil, there are strongholds of evil in certain planetary systems, and very similar to Star Wars in many ways. So you do have that in the lower worlds, not the higher worlds, not the divine throne worlds, but in the lower worlds that come under polarity and duality, you have those dual forces. You actually have three forces. You have the negative, you have the positive, and they're under the law of polarity and duality, and then you have the way out, which is through trinitization. There's always a third factor which you can triangulate, and the point at the top of the triangle is your point of escape. And that's the neutral. In our worlds of the sound current, that's known as the sound current or the living word. That is the neutral energy of the Word of God, the living Word of God, or the Holy Spirit that enables you to spiritually transcend in your soul the lower momentum. And that's what we need to practice all the time, is finding that middle point, and that's always the neutral point where you don't hook into either the negative or the positive, and you transcend it through grace. So, again, to reiterate, God does not punish and send us these horrible things on the earth. They are the effects of man's inhumanity to man. You'll notice whenever there's been a great onslaught of negativity towards a people, there will always be a backlash to the people who have perpetrated that in some manner. So we have got to learn from this earthly life how to come to harmony through the process of conflict. As I mentioned, we're in a third ray planet, which is active intelligence, and we are under the fourth ray of harmony through conflict. Now, that sounds like an oxymoron, but it's just the way things seem to work here. It is a warring planet, and you know, some spiritual disciplines say that it will always remain that because it's the planetary school of difficult endeavor. And when we graduate from this planet, we're called the abjuricators between the pairs of opposites. So we learn to judge between the two pairs of opposites and find that middle path that Buddha taught and the infinite way that Jesus the Christ taught. Anyway, here we are, and we need to now shift our consciousness and our focus and our intention to live at a higher perspective, a higher level of association, integration, and identification. Begin to really identify yourself as a master here on Earth assignment. Begin to walk the master walk. Begin to master yourself in every way that you can. Be a commander by coming under the complete command of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our most radiant one, and begin to live a life that really outpictures the divine world that you are imagining and picturing and praying and envisioning that we are going to be moving into. Move into it now. Nobody is saying that you can't. We have the divine will. People often say, well, how can I know that I'm in the divine will? Well, you know you're in the divine will, the will of God, when you have a total peace about whatever it is that you are doing or planning to do. Your conscience is actually the inner guide, the inner monitor of what you should and shouldn't do. That's the ever-present presence of the Holy Spirit that convicts you. It gives a check on your reins when you're taking a step that is against love in some form. And everything that is evil transgresses the law of love in some way. So we had a cycle in which the will of God was to descend and densify into form. And that has been completed. So now the will of God is the ascension and return from form back into spirit. And not into an amorphous mass. You know, don't freak out and think you're going to lose yourself. No. Ascension is returning to the awareness of where you've always been and what you are eternally, which is one with the divine and ever creative in ongoing, open-ended creation. So we're going into a cycle in which we will identify initially with being divine co-workers, and eventually, probably, we will have a consciousness that is more like that of Sai Baba, where we experience ourselves living in and through all things. And that, of course, would be a high degree of divine integration or God realization. So you have the divine will, and you have the divine plan, which is now the ascension and return back into spirit of all life. And then you have the permissive will, which some call the permissive will. And that's the allowance of human free will and free choice. We've been given complete wiggle room down here on Earth, complete ability to do whatever we will with our planet, and we create the repercussions that then we complain about and pray to God to come and fix. And God comes and returns in the form of avatars, such as Sai Baba, who are like great mega generators of divine power, which is then available for us to tap. And we indeed come under a form of grace and protection as we turn to those great dynamos of spiritual power and ask them to intercede. In fact, they come as agents of divine intercession and intervention on earth. So those are some of the things I wanted to share tonight. God is not the one that's, you know, throwing thunderbolts at us, but we really are being called to clean up our act individually and collectively. People who are not aligned with God are aligned with the fallen ones in the higher planes, the lower planes, the lower worlds, but higher in terms of earth. And they seek out agents of ill will, agents who have egocentric minds and who are easily inflamed into murderous rage and anger and warfare. And then they use them as their agents. So don't keep company with that. Rather be an agent of divine love and divine service and divine will. Be an inlet of grace into this world and a tributary through which the forces, the higher forces of light, can always depend upon you to receive their transmissions of light and power and energy and to be able to anchor them in your life and in your wherever it is that you have been posted as an assignment on this planet. So again, I speak into each one of you the highest divine destiny that you have contracted in spirit. I speak into you strength, the measure of faith that you need to stand strong in these times. And again, we of the Ashtar Command are always with you and available and surround you with love and protection and great appreciation. And we are your cheerleaders, cheering you on as you complete your missions here on Earth. The Ashtar Command is completely surrounding the planet right now. In fact, it looks like a huge parking lot between the Victory 1 fleets of Valiant Thor and and Ashtar's fleets and Commander Anton Silver fleets. You are well covered with Confederation brothers and sisters that are guarding you and protecting you. And they can whisk you in a nanosecond wherever you are in a position of danger if need be. Again, that is determined by your own free will and your karma and what you've agreed in spirit to have happen. And you can always renegotiate. Go for it if you feel called to do so. So again, from the United Forces of the Ashtar Command, I wish our ground fleet success in standing strong in these times, being men and women of integrity, and being the blessing that you would have come to this earth. You are the way that God will transform this world. And let's just close with a huge chant. Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord. God bless each one of you.
Hi, this is Brentwood from Lee.